KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have 23 degrees in Atlantic, and we're looking forward to be partly cloudy and mild today with a high around 56. And partly cloudy to cloudy tonight with a low of 32. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Topping local news, Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson Wednesday night said his officers responded to the Atlantic Walmart store for a reported bomb threat. The call came into the store at around 4:50 p.m., with a person stating that a device was placed inside the store. Store manager immediately evacuated the building and contacted the Cass County Community Center, or communication center, that is. The Atlantic Police Department, Cass County Sheriff's Office, and Atlantic Fire Department all arrived at the scene and performed a security sweep of the building. After the sweep was performed, it was believed that the building was safe and shoppers were allowed back inside. Through an investigation, Erickson said, "Our department does not believe that this was a credible threat. Officers will continue to investigate the situation as information becomes available." And he said there was an arrest made during the investigation, but that they don't believe that person was connected to the bomb threat. But noting that the current policy regarding face coverings in the Atlantic School District appears to be working quite well and has limited the need to quarantine students and staff, the school board last night voted unanimously to keep the policy in place through the end of the semester, which is December 22nd. Next week, Governor Reynolds is expected to come out with an updated public health proclamation, but it's too early to know yet what her plans are. To be safe, the board opted to continue with the current policy. They will meet next Thursday at 6 o'clock to discuss any changes the governor may make with regard to face masks and act accordingly for a policy to take the district into the second semester at that time. The current policy, which was renewed for the third time since it was implemented, states that face coverings will continue to be required when social distancing is not possible. During Wednesday's meeting, board member Josh McLaren said after listening to what the governor said Wednesday morning and following comments made by Washington Elementary Principal Stacy Horning and Schuler Principal James Northwick that
our kids got to be in school. It's obvious. Some of our kids that are at home are keeping up, some aren't. Obviously, that's a concern for them. I think we have to continue it until she changes, in my opinion, until she changes something as far as quarantine and those type of things. Still a way to keep our kids here.
Horning said earlier in the meeting that if a mask mandate wasn't in effect, there would have been two or three classrooms that would have had to have gone home and learned remotely.
To me, nothing's showing me that there's any reason to take that away, because I think as soon as we take it away, then what we're doing is working. And I think I just fear that if we take it away, then we're going to be quarantining, or we're going to be going hybrid or going remote, and then I think that's a fault to our kids.
Board member Laura McLean said she's grateful kids can be in school, and board member Christy Pellett said she too is grateful that to the staff and everyone who made in-person learning possible in the district by ensuring masks are being worn when social distancing isn't possible. Governor Kim Reynolds says studies show schools are safe places for kids, and she's praising the Iowa districts that have kept all students in class 100% of the time. As for Iowa schools that have shifted to 100% online or to a hybrid system with kids in classrooms every other day, the governor has a message for those districts.
I would just encourage parents out there to talk to your educators, talk to your school boards, and let's get our kids back in school.
During the news conference held late Wednesday morning, Reynolds invited a parent to speak about her frustration with the Ankeny schools. Sarah Barthold has her son in kindergarten and another in third grade, and both kids are bouncing between virtual classes and some in-school class time.
We're not gaining anything by having our kids out of school. It's time to pivot and move forward to get all of our kids back in the classroom. My hope and desire is that my sons and all students will get to return to school full-time in person at the start of second semester in January, if that's what their families want for them.
Governor Reynolds says current state law limits her ability to change the waiver system that allows schools to shift to part-time in-person or full-time online, but hinted that legislators could and should change that.
I think we need to do everything we can right now to get our kids back in the classroom, and I believe that the data supports that. I believe eventually we're going to potentially be doing more harm than we are by keeping them out of school, and I think the data every day continues to support that decision for a whole host of reasons.
The governor has extended her public health emergency proclamation that was set to expire today for another week. It requires face coverings in many public places and limits the number of people who may gather indoors and outdoors.
We've made good progress over the last few weeks, but our ultimate goal is to get virus activity to a level that we can manage over the next few months. I want to take this time to thank Iowans for stepping up and doing your part, and I hope you've seen how that effort has paid off. We really can stop the spread of the virus if we continue to work together.
Reynolds also also clarified that 10 p.m. is to be the last call for alcohol served in Iowa bars, restaurants, and casinos, rather than a closing time of 10 p.m. The governor announced the state has contracted with 104 out-of-state nurses to work in Iowa hospitals through the end of the month, 80 of whom are already on the job. The state is also providing a 30-day supply of face masks, gowns, and gloves to all 432 Iowa nursing homes at no charge. The state website yesterday showed 5,700 nursing home residents and staff had active COVID infections, with COVID outbreaks at 141 facilities. It's up to 143 as of this morning. In our funeral announcements, James Jim Marcus Cook, age 68, of Hancock, died Saturday. A private family memorial service for Jim Cook will be today at 10 o'clock at the United Church of Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Lois Peters, age 90, of Manning, died Tuesday at Manning Regional Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Lois Peters will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, with Odie Funeral Home of Manning in charge of arrangements. Terry Loud Lippold, age 68, of Shelby, died December 4th. Memorial services for Terry Loud Lippold will be held on Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Max DeVault, age 80, of Colo, died Sunday in Maquoketa. Public graveside services for Max DeVault will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at the Colo Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Kenneth June Butler, Jr., age 88, of Guthrie Center, died December 3rd. Private family memorial services for Kenneth Butler, Jr. will be held on December 19th at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Art Bailey, age 81, of Cumberland, died Saturday in Denison. Private family services for Art Bailey will be held with the Steen Funeral Home of Messina in charge of the arrangements. Russell D. Bergman, age 81, a former Atlantic resident, died December 4th in Omaha. Celebration of life for Russell Bergman will be held at a later date. The Heafy Hoffman Dworick Cutler Funeral Home of Omaha has the arrangements. Norman Crow, Jr., age 64, of Exira, died Tuesday. Arrangements for Norman Crow, Jr. are pending and will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Robert Lee Hoffman, age 90, of Staten Island, New York, and formerly of Elliott, died December 3rd. No services are planned at this time. An interment for Robert Hoffman will be in the Lohman Cemetery southeast of Griswold at a later date. Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold is assisting the family. James Shelley, age 81, of Avoca, died Friday in Omaha. No services for James Shelley are planned. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home is assisting the family. Patricia Johnson, age 74, who is formerly of Griswold, died Saturday in Des Moines. A memorial service for Patricia Johnson will be held at a later date in Oakland. Recon Funeral Home in Oakland and Griswold are assisting the family. Norman Holcomb, age 94, of Mount Air, died Tuesday at the Clearview Nursing Home. No services are planned for Norman James Holcomb. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.